So I co-wrote that song with E.E. Cummings. And I just am so awed when something that we believe here, that we teach, that we practice, gets echoed in other places. And here's E.E. Cummings knowing that that love under the silence, when we peel away the layers, that love is the truest thing. That's the truth we want to have guide us. And we have to Karina's point, we have to be quiet and stop trying so hard to be able to connect with that. Then we can act, then we'll be guided on how to work with that love, that deepest truth. But we need to be quiet. We need other things too. I need to come here. Last week, when Reverend Crystal was on fire talking about the truth of who we really are, and that choir got up here, I feel emotional to say this, and went, "This is me," I felt such power. I felt such love here. And that's really why I come. I think I come because I need that fueled, and I think that's true for a lot of us. We hear smart thoughts here. Smart thoughts are good, but that's not for me. What fuels me to bring that truth into the rest of my life. In fact, recently my mother died, my partner's mother died 6 days later, and it was a very, very hard time, and I felt so overwhelmed. And I did just what Karina's talking about. I said, I can't do all of this. God, please take care of me. And in that moment, oh, I felt it, and I felt it through the rest of the process. That's what we're after. We're after letting that part of us lead the way. It's not always easy to do. Bless you. The title of my talk today is Overcoming the Lies. Because I think one of the things that happens is we have this experience, we're good, we leave here fueled and fired, and then one lie after another comes our way about how hopeless the world is, of how unworthy we are, and it's hard not to be overcome by that. Lao Tzu, who actually lived in the 6th century BC, that's a long time ago. He's the founder of Taoism. He said this, every human being's essential nature is perfect and faultless. But after years of immersion in the world, we easily forget our roots and take on a counterfeit nature. That was in the 6th century B.C. You know, we think it's a modern phenomenon that, you know, in our world, we forget who we are. But this sounds like we've been battling with that, struggling with that, working with that for centuries. Today, brain science is exploring how to explain all of this. And I am very excited about the intersections between science and spirituality. No longer do we have to choose whether to believe in science or spirituality. Many, many ways, and in particular in brain science, a lot of what we know spiritually is now validated. We have real, hardcore evidence for some of what Unity's been teaching and other spiritual perspectives have been teaching for generations. So, I'm gonna talk about some of those interplays, and I'm actually gonna talk about how we can use these ideas to connect more, as our mission statement says, to our divine essence. Here's a really interesting thing. If you imagine something, your brain takes it in as if it's already happened. I didn't know that. Isn't that interesting? We've said things like that in Unity, but it's actually true. Your brain thinks it happened. So if you're worried, oh, that your kid is out late, and maybe they're going to be in a car accident, or maybe some terrible thing is going to happen, your brain takes that in like it already happened. And worse, after that, it begins to collect evidence to support that belief. Once you believe something, your brain is scanning the environment to actually prove that that's the truth. That's part of why it's so hard, because it gets like a double whammy. However, on the other hand, many of you work with creative visualization through the years. It was a famous book, and a lot of us were working with that for a while. Well, turns out that's true too. If I imagine that I'm loved, that I'm supported, that I'm cared about, my brain's taking that in like it happened. And I'm scanning the environment for proof of that. So this actually mirrors very famous Unity phrase, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind, right? We know that, and yay, now neuroscience is showing us that's exactly what happens. So if we want to work with that, it's helpful to know that. So of course you're going to imagine something awful sometimes. We're human. We do that. But if as you're imagining it, you're aware of it, and you say, that's not the truth. That hasn't really happened. You're helping your brain not to take it in as truth. You can work with that. Also, when you have a thought like that, just to say, do I know for sure that that's true? Just to challenge that begins to disconnect that neural pathway and maybe even start a new one. Also, this is no surprise to anybody, but neuroscience actually explains how this works. The things you were told about when you were a kid, told about yourself, actually then become hardwired. So you have a hardwired neural pathway that reflects what you were told about when you were a kid. That doesn't surprise anybody, right? No. And it's not enough simply to say, well, that's not the truth. You've got to be able to work with that, because that's really stuck in there. You have to work with that more aggressively. Pardon the word, but I think it's more aggressively. If you want to be able to work with that, if you want to be able to change that. So I'm going to hearken us back to what we did during the meditation. In order for us to be able to rewire those neural pathways, we need to find relaxation in our bodies. We could do that in a lot of different ways. Exercise, meditation, yoga, the kind of exercise I went through with you, that tense and release, that body scan. There are a lot of ways you can do that. And the more time you spend in a relaxed body, the less likely your amygdala, this part of your brain, is going to get triggered. Once that gets activated, you're in trouble, because all that part of your brain knows is fight, flight, fight, flight. I don't know about you, but good decision making doesn't come out of that for me. So we want to be able to disengage that amygdala and make room for the frontal lobe, which is actually the logical, rational part of your brain. So how do we do that? We need a relaxed muscle body. And then we need that question. Is that true? Or we need right here, and this is another echo to spiritual teaching, right here, right now, I'm safe. Is there any danger right here, right now? And when we ask that question, guess what? The frontal lobe will answer it, because you've now released your frontal lobe and you're allowing it in the process. That makes sense? So we want to be able to work with that so that we can start to free ourselves from that difficult, painful, tight, stiff, cemented belief system that holds so many of us captive. Here's the really good news. There's something called positive neuroplasticity. Isn't that cool? That says that as we do the things I'm talking about, which include affirmations, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, includes affirmative thinking, it includes meditation, it includes yoga. As we do these practices, we're actually able to change the brain. The brain looks different in a meditator than it looks in a person who doesn't meditate. We have power to change this if we know how to work with it. Anything that cultivates relaxation will help us to be less likely to be dominated by the amygdala and more likely to have access to our frontal lobe. So, on to affirmations. The more relaxed we are, the more able we are to utilize those positive affirmations. But here's the thing. If you tell yourself something that's so different from what you already believe, your brain's gonna fight it. Let's say you're physically ill, and you tell yourself, I am perfectly healthy. And this may work for some people. You know, this is very, very personal. You've got to find out what works for you. If that were me, that wouldn't work. I would start arguing with that affirmation. I would start saying, but I don't feel well. And then it actually backfires, because in that fight, you have now deepened the neural pathway that says I'm not well. We don't want to do that. So what, this is how I work with it. What can I say that's not going to create that fight? I can say there's health and wellness in me that I want to connect with. I'm less likely to fight that. That feels truer to me. It doesn't mean you have to only agree, you know, use affirmations you 100% agree with. That's not the point, because then you'll never change. But to do it like a few notches more than what you believe, you're more likely to take it in, and it's more likely to be usable for you. Same thing with denials. So if I say, someone's unkind words have no power to hurt me. For me, that doesn't—it doesn't feel true, because you could hurt my feelings. Most of you could hurt my feelings if you wanted, or even accidentally. You know, you say something and it might hurt my feelings. I'm going to fight that one. But if I say my hurt feelings have no power to thwart me, to undermine me, then I can embrace that. So this is a really important practice to work on how to use affirmations and denials in a way that isn't going to create that conflict in you, and a way that can actually move you into believing the truth about yourself. So, today, I have an affirmation and a denial for you. And I invite you, I'm going to say it how it is, I invite you to work with it and see if you can make it your own. See if there's any fight. See how you might need to soften it. Maybe you need to strengthen it. Because we're all at different places, we've all had different backgrounds, and we've got to work with what we are. That was why I loved that song last week, because it was like, this is me. I've got to work with this, not someone else's idea of how I need to be a proper spiritual person. So the first one is, fear and loathing have no power over me. Say that with me. Fear and loathing have no power over me. Now, for me, that works. Maybe for somebody else, the fear and loathing is too much gripping you, and you need to figure out another way to work with that. But that's the first one. The second, and I'm using our mission statement too, I accept the truth of my divine essence. Can we do that together? I accept the truth of my divine essence. Okay. So that means to me that I believe there's goodness in me, and that this goodness is connected to all of the goodness in the universe. That's what that means. I'm not saying everyone believes that at all times, but I can work with that belief. And I invite you to play with that and to think about what affirmations you can use in your life that will actually move you forward. It made me think about one of my favorite poems, certainly, perhaps, she's one of my favorite poets, and that's Mary Oliver. And she talks about this. It's called When I Am Among the Trees. I'd like to share that with you because it's a way of getting to that connection with one's divine essence, even when you're not already feeling it. So, when I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness, I would almost say they save me, and daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves. They call out and say, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. "It's simple," they say. And you, too, have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. And this, that's the end of the poem, this is who we really are. To overcome the lies we tell ourselves, we need to identify what helps us feel the truth. A morning in church, time in nature, a song, a poem, a hug, whatever it is for you, I am offering you the opportunity to find that, to work with it, to notice it, to proclaim it when you see it. That's another way to change that neural pathway. This is it. So we're going to sing you another song. This was based on Gandhi's favorite song. I modified it for us, and I ask you to sing it. And while we sing it together, remember that you're claiming that you are like God, that I am like God is a way to be able to anchor into that experience of your divine essence. So please join us.